And like the war itself, the Cold War wasn't simply a fact in international relations. As in other countries, in particular, as in the US, the Cold War shaped, one might say deformed, everyday culture and politics in many ways. Above all, one saw this in a massive upsurge in officially promoted nationalism, Russian, and to some extent Soviet nationalism, even outright xenophobia. Everything foreign was condemned in these years. People who showed respect for Western ideas were condemned as what were called rootless cosmopolitans, which was defined officially as servility before the degenerate bourgeois culture of the West. Rootless cosmopolitanism was also a euphemism for Jews, seen as lacking nation, who were particularly targeted in these years in a whole series of purges of Jews from various institutions. On the other hand, everything Russian was said to be the greatest in the world. The Russian language was said to be superior as a language and eventually would become the international language of the future. Russian literature was said to be superior to every language, every literature in the world. And somewhat less plausibly, indeed a great deal less plausibly, even many Western inventions were said to have been invented by Russians. For example, the cotton gin was said to be a Russian invention. To cap off all these regressive trends, it appeared that the last component of full-blown Stalinism was on its way, namely a new purge, a new terror, perhaps. In January of 1953, it was announced that a number of doctors working in the Kremlin, it turns out were mostly Jews, had been arrested for, as it was alleged, conspiring to murder all the leaders of the country, starting, of course, with Stalin. Many people saw this declaration of this massive arrest to be the first step in a new terror against suspected enemies wherever they were to be found, a return of the terror of the late 30s. It was prevented, many believe, only by Stalin's death in March of 1953. After he died, on the 5th of March, his successors, the leaders of the party and the state, recognized they couldn't rule in the same way Stalin had. People were losing patience with it, and they lacked his charisma to even be able to carry it off. In particular, they realized they had to now pay more attention to the desires of the population for a normal life. There needed to be less repression. There needed to be less obsessive focus on ideology and propaganda. And there needed to be more realization of the promises being made for a better life, a better material life. Now, the story of how they did this, the story of the succession of regimes that followed Stalin, is a fascinating one. It starts with the reforms of Nikita Khrushchev, who headed the party in 1953 to 64. This involved an extensive program of what was called de-Stalinization, openly criticizing Stalin's repression and promising much less. Major efforts were also launched, appropriately, to stimulate and focus on the consumer economy. Indeed, public speeches and even posters that one would see and hear during Khrushchev's time were far more likely to talk about increasing hog production or bread production or building houses than building socialism. Khrushchev was forced from power in 1964, partly because of many of his policies actually didn't work, but also he became an increasing embarrassment of the Soviet Union before the world due to his failed international policies, most notably the Cuban Missile Crisis, but also the famous story of him pounding his shoe on the podium at the United Nations. He was followed by Leonid Brezhnev, who ruled for many years, 1964 to 1982, a period that became known officially as developed socialism. In practice, this developed socialism was, as we'll see when I describe it in more detail in a moment, very much like a socialist or any other sort of welfare state, but a welfare state in which the Communist Party jealously protected its absolute monopoly on political power. Personally, he was quite successful. Unlike Khrushchev, who was forced out of office for a variety of reasons, variety of failures in policy, and alienating many people in Russia due to his policies, Brezhnev died in office. Indeed, all the rulers that would follow would die in office until Gorbachev.